Our scripture lesson today is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things in him who strengthens me.
The word of the Lord.
I know you're waiting for more, and I was like, where's the rest? Isn't that enough? In Stillwater, my treasurer's name is Carol. She was my backup liturgist because there'd be times people just wouldn't let us know. So she was always willing. But I always say whenever she was a liturgist, it'd be like half a page. I mean, seriously, she'd be reading this. And so if she'd have got that passage, she'd have thought I didn't like it. But I do like it. That's all I'm saying. Hudson Taylor, for those of you who've never heard the name, probably because he died before any of us here was born. He died, I think, in 1905. He was born in the 1800s to a Methodist preacher who was part-time preacher, part-time pharmacologist. And his wife and he prayed for their son to be a missionary to Asia. Hudson grew up, became a teenager. We all love you teenagers, I promise. But he left the church, left home. And all their prayers, they thought, were going to go unanswered. But a few years later, he turned back to the Lord, and lo and behold, he became the founder of the China Inland Mission. So their prayers for him to be a missionary to Asia worked out. Well, I mention that to mention this, because he is quoted as saying, all of the Lord's work is this way. Impossible, difficult, done. Thus the title of the sermon today. I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. Not to be confused with my daughter's interpretation of that as a child, which was, I can do anything I want to, Jesus said so. She tried, but that's not it. We need to understand in the church the same thing that I was taught in Main Street. And that is, there's no such things as problems. There's just opportunities. If we start looking at what we would call a problem as an opportunity instead, it changes our outlook. Problem is, we have empty pews. No, we have an opportunity to get more people here. Problem is, whatever, don't make it a problem. Make it an opportunity to change. Impossible, difficult, done. That's just the way it needs to go. How many of you like to do jigsaw puzzles? All right, my sister did, my youngest sister. And she was weird. I mean, I love her. But she had this one puzzle that she got, and it was like, I don't know, it's only like 2,500 pieces. But one side, it was a two-sided puzzle. One side was completely white, the other side was completely black, and that was it. So you knew which side to put up. I mean, I'm young, and you could do corners and all, but it's like, I looked at it and said, impossible. Then we had a card table set up in the room, and she didn't have all the time to work on it. But so a few days later, I looked, and most of the outside border was done. I'm like, maybe not impossible. Still looks pretty hard. Difficult. A week or so later, it was done. We can't look at anything and say it can't be done, because it can. We can't go, well, we've never done it that way before. Well, maybe because no one thought of it that way before. I took physics in high school, and I loved my physics teacher. He was awesome. I admit, I'm old enough that when I took physics, there was one calculator in the room, and it was his, the teacher. But during a test, he let you use it. You had to clear it. You couldn't leave the numbers on it. Because his point was, he wanted you to not mess up because you did a math problem, you know, a math mistake, but to know that you knew what you're doing. Well, we had this test where you're supposed to figure out how tall a building was. Well, we just had this whole thing on using barometric pressure to figure out how, from the top of the bottom, I don't remember anymore, that's a long time ago. But if you remembered, you could use that to tell how tall the building was. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, one of the guys in my class forgot that equation. But he remembered the equation for acceleration. So his answer to the problem was that he would throw the barometer off the top of the building and time it. When it smashed on the ground, he would use acceleration to figure out how tall the building was. He got full credit. He said, that's not how I expected you to do it. Not exactly good on the barometer, but it does work. Sometimes we've got to look outside of the box, whether it's on what friend you're going to invite. It's not impossible. It might be difficult for some of you to find a friend, but you can get it done. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Edison used over 1,000, according to who you listen to. I was doing my fact checking this week. I saw anywhere between 1,000 to 1,500 to 6,000. So I'm taking the smallest number. 1,000 different filaments until he found the one that would work best with the carbonized whatever. 1,000. A reporter came to him while he's in the middle of the process. He says, what's wrong? What are you doing wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong. I've learned, 500 things that don't work. I'm learning things. Again, it's how we approach the situation. Is it a problem or an opportunity? Well, let's hope that we all make them opportunities. Now, let's look in the Bible with some people. We talked about Noah not too long ago, so I won't dwell on him a long time. But he had what most of us would consider an impossible task. You got 7 people to help you, no power tools. You're building a 450-foot-long boat, 4 stories high. I wouldn't want to do it with power tools. I don't care if you gave me 120 years to do it, because I'd get bored before the 120 years were out and I'd drown with everyone else. But it wasn't impossible, but it was difficult, and it finally got done. Joshua, Jericho, walled city, thick walls, no way to get in, impossible. Not with the Lord on your side. It was difficult. For 7 days they marched around and had people probably laugh at them. Why march around at once, blow their trumpets? Yay! Last day they marched around 7 times, blow their trumpets, and walls fall down. And I thought I played the trumpet poorly. But I never broke anything with my trumpet. Possible, difficult, done. Gideon. Now I love Gideon. You meet Gideon the first time. He's down hiding in a wine press, hole in the ground, threshing wheat, because he's afraid of the Midianites. And an angel shows up and says, "Hi there, mighty warrior! Hey, are you reading the same book I am? Because, dude, he's down in a hole hiding." But the angel knew what he's talking about. Gets him out of the hole, talks with him. Gideon says, "Okay, let me go get you some food." Angel zaps it, torches it, it's gone. Thinking Gideon's going, "Okay, I guess it really is an angel." So I want you to go take care of some business for God. Okay, it's not that I don't trust you or anything, because, I do. But do you mind if I put a fleece out first? If the ground's dry and the fleece is wet, then I know for a fact, I know for sure that you're, okay. Next day, ground's dry, fleece is wet. I'm just thinking, the sun's coming up. Maybe it dried the grass and that fleece held the water. So do you mind if we do it one more time and let's have the fleece dry and the ground wet? I'm thinking God has got so much more patience than I do. Okay, fine. Next day, fleece dry, ground wet. Now God gets eaten. I'm not saying God got eaten. Yeah, I am. He says, all right, let's get these people together. There's 180,000 Midianites. Let's get your group together. 24,000. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to go fight 180,000, 24,000 seems a little bit shy of what I'd want. Lord says to Gideon, you got too many men. And Gideon's going, 180, 24. What part of this are you not getting, Lord? You got 2 minutes. Tell the crybabies and the scaredy cats to go home. That's the Tim Horton's paraphrase version. And they do. 10,000 left. Gideon's going, thanks, Lord. Needed that. Oh, by the way, Gideon, you got too many men. 180, 10. 2 minutes. Just take them down to the water, watch them drink. And the ones that drink, out of their hand, like a dog, lapping their hand, keep them. 300. 300 versus 180,000. Lord, if that's about right. And they do. They win. Why? Because God's on top of it. But if you and I were going to look at it, we'd say impossible, difficult. But Gideon and God said, done. Finally, I want to read a passage from Luke 1. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom. And Mary said to the angel, how will this happen since I haven't had sexual relations with a man? The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come over you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God. Then Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said. Then the angel left her. Think about Mary's situation. Teenage, engaged, not married, about to become pregnant with God's kid. Try to explain that one to your parents. Seriously, Mom, this angel came, and it's God's baby. Yeah. Don't think so. It was. She went to see Elizabeth. Remember what happened when she got close to Elizabeth? John the Baptist, who is 6 months along inside her, leapt with joy. I'm trying to imagine what it's like for Mary trying to explain to Joseph. And I'm thinking she had some issues, and that's why God had to send an angel to him, because men, we don't listen to women. I'm sure Mary said, God did it, and Joseph said, I don't think so. Then the angel came and he said, okay, I got it. I'm thinking that it was very tough for them coming in for that census, realizing that people were looking at them because they knew they weren't married. Well, some of them did. And then she was going to give birth anyway. Now, we would say it's impossible for a woman to give birth without sexual relations, but we know it's not true. It's not impossible with God. Difficult, because he had to find a willing participant in Mary, but then it was done. So here's my question to you this morning. Are you a Noah? Are you a Joshua? Are you a Gideon? Are you a Mary? Are you willing? Look at the impossible and say, it may be difficult, but I can get it done with God. Or are you going to say, it's a problem. That's someone else's problem. No. It's an opportunity. Let's make the best of our opportunities this week and every week, so that when we look at what God has provided us, we can say, yeah, God is in control. And we don't... Last thing I want to share with you. A lot of people don't want to get out of their comfort zone. I'm just telling you this, it's not trespassing to get out of your own comfort zone. It's okay to do that. You now have my, as a pastor, you have my permission to get out of your comfort zone. It is not trespassing. So go for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and giving us everything we need to accomplish the impossible. Help us to quit looking at problems and accept the opportunities that you give us. Help us to be just like those people that we talked about today, that we will have the courage to do the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray.